Okay, good morning, everybody. I'll call to order this meeting of the Renewal Enterprise District at 12:03 p.m. on June 21st. Michelle, can you conduct an attendance roll call, please?
Happy to. Supervisor Rabbit?
Here.
Supervisor Corsi?
Here.
Chair, Council Member Fleming?
Here.
Chair Tibbetts?
Here. Fellow members of the board, I assume we've had the opportunity to review the agenda. May I ask for a motion to approve the agenda? And we'll do a roll call vote.
So moved. Approve the agenda.
Second.
And I'll go through the roll call now. Supervisor Rabbit?
Aye.
Supervisor Corsi?
Yes.
Council Member Fleming?
Yes.
And Chair Tibbetts?
Aye. Okay, let's move on to item two, public comment on matters not listed on the agenda, but within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board. Michelle, why don't we start with any recorded public comment received prior to the meeting on non-agenda items. And for any members of the public who are watching today who would like to speak, please feel free to raise your hand via Zoom, or if you're listening by phone, by pressing star 9 to raise your hand. We'll give each public commenter 3 minutes.
Chair Tibbetts, we didn't receive any public comment, either audio or written, in advance of this meeting.
Okay, do we see any members of the public raising their hands wishing to speak?
I see no hands raised from our attendees.
Okay, thanks, Janet. All right, we'll move on to item three, consent calendar. Approve minutes, and we're going to take these together unless there's questions by the board. And that's going to be approve minutes of the May 28th, 2021 board meeting and approve year-to-date financial report. Would the members of the board like to pull either of these items?
Okay. Move approval.
Second on both.
Okay, before we go to a roll call vote to approve the consent calendar, let's look to the public for comment. Do we have any pre-recorded messages, Michelle?
No, we didn't have any messages received in advance.
Okay, any members of the public wishing to speak at this time, you may do so by clicking raise hand feature on Zoom or pressing star 9 if calling in by telephone.
I'm seeing no hands raised.
Okay, thanks, Janet. Michelle, if you'd like to take roll on this one, roll call vote.
Sure. Supervisor Rabbit?
Aye.
Supervisor Corsi?
Yes.
Council Member Fleming?
Yes.
Chair Tibbetts?
Yes. Great, motion carries. We'll move to action item of the day, item four. This is going to be an update on phase two of the scope of work regarding next steps to design and operationalize a new fund to help accelerate the creation of infill mid to high density housing near transit, jobs, services, and other amenities that build healthy, complete communities. We've got a series of actions here. Michelle, how would you like these to be presented?
How about if we go ahead and make the presentation and then take board member comments or questions, do the public comment and come back to the board for final thoughts, and then maybe go through each action one by one and do a roll call vote on each action one by one.
Sounds great. So do we want to have Forsyth Street take over and give the presentation?
Sure. And while I'm loading up their presentation, I'll just do a really quick introduction. We've been busy turning your board's direction into the legal structure and governance of the Red Housing Fund. What we've engineered is a structure that can both address today's housing needs and adapt to housing goals that might emerge in the future. It's been a collaborative process, and I think what we have is an innovative housing finance solution that's designed to affect change in our housing market. Elise, Olivia, Daniela, over to you. Give me just a second to get your slides up here. Oh, All right, I think everybody can see the slides at this point, and I'll put it in your capable hands. Before I do that, I'll also let you know that Red Council Sue Block is here in case we have any questions of a legal nature.
Great, thanks, Michelle. And thank you to the Red Board for making the time today. Like Michelle said, today's presentation is going to be more focused on where we're at in creating the new 501c3, as well as the steps we need to take to form the initial board for that entity. Next slide, please. So for today's agenda, we'll spend a bit of time focusing on where we're at in the project itself. But like I said, a lot of today's discussion is going to be focused on what we need to do to actually form the entity that will be the home to the Red Housing Fund, the steps we'll take to put an initial board to that entity, and then we'll close with next steps. Next slide, please. So here are our work plans that we've been working on. We continue to progress with the City of Santa Rosa as well as the county in terms of translating terms to actual funding agreements. And we expect that to happen later in the summer, early fall. And then more on the operational side of things, today we're gonna be focused on what we actually need to do to create the entity, the 501c3 for the Red Housing Fund itself, as well as what we need to do to make sure that that entity has a governance structure. So the actual bodies that will sit on that fund's board of directors. Next slide, please. So just to recap and a bit of a reminder of what was the focus of last month's discussion is we received direction from you all to proceed with kind of focusing on creating a 501c3 as the preferred path for the entity of the Red Housing Fund. And so today we were hoping that we can receive the authorization to and the approval to submit the draft articles of incorporation that were included in your board materials. And so once council has the authorization to submit those, we can actually go ahead and create the entity. The entity will be established. And once the entity is created, we're hoping to receive some direction on who that initial board will be. Once the initial board is in place, that board of the Red Housing Fund can go ahead and adopt and approve the bylaws of the organization, as well as approve the draft 1023 that we've been working on, which we can then submit to the IRS for federal tax exemption. And then just a reminder of what this entity's board will look like for the 501c3. So we'll have three representatives from the public sector, one from the City of Santa Rosa, one from the County of Sonoma. We're expecting that those representatives will be appointed and added to the board later in the year once the funding agreements for those entities are in place. So that'll probably happen late summer, early fall, depending on what the actual timelines are to close those agreements. The third representative from the public sector is going to be one that the Red Board you all appoint. And so that's going to be a focus of conversation for today is who does that appointee look like? They will be part of that initial three-member board that we're assuming is going to be in place to actually get the entity created. And then the last four members of this board are independent directors that we will be recommending, that you all will recommend and council will appoint. And so of those four, today we're looking for two of those positions to be filled. And then the last point too, still important for sure, is that if the Red Board, you all are interested in appointing any advisory members, we can go ahead and do that today as well. And so just a reminder that those advisory roles are non-voting, but they will be able to kind of join and participate in all the same discussions that board members typically participate in. So they'll be able to both evaluate, analyze any credit or governance decisions that the fund later looks to do. Next slide, please. So in creating this board, it's been pretty important to create a capable, well-balanced board that's going to be able to contribute different types of capacities and experiences that the fund will be able to leverage. And this is important because the board is, we're anticipating that the board will have a series of sort of more startup operational tasks, and then we'll have this ongoing governance role throughout the life of the fund. And so the different tasks that we have in mind for what this board will really be doing for the fund is there's kind of a more governance oriented role. So the adoption and modification of any key governance documents. So right now we're looking at the articles of incorporation and the bylaws. Any future amendments to those documents, the Red Housing Fund's board will need to be able to approve and sign off on. There's also more of a financial oversight role. So that's sort of the annual submission of the 990. There's also the annual approval of the fund's budget, which will include different expenses. So any sort of third parties that the fund may be contracting with, that'll be included in that budget, as well as any new capital that the fund is looking to raise. So if at a later date, the fund is looking to raise additional capital from philanthropies, foundations, local corporations, the terms for those agreements will ultimately need to be agreed to by the fund's board as well. And then last and importantly, the sort of credit and programmatic decisions will all be need to be approved on by the board as well. So any sort of discussion of what projects the fund will eventually support, if the fund wants to launch new products or partnerships at a later date, the fund's board will also need to sign off on those decisions. And so that's a lot of sort of different roles and hats that the board will need to provide for the fund. And so for that reason, it's important to get a board that is representative of a bunch of different types of experiences and backgrounds. And so on the slide, we've just listed a few of the different kind of backgrounds that Foresight has seen with other funds that we've worked on. So individuals with backgrounds in housing and community development, folks from the philanthropic sector or law. These are all kind of different experiences that hopefully the fund can leverage. And now I'll turn it over to Daniela. Next slide, please.
Okay. So today, I think Olivia already discussed much of this on the prior slide. So today we're requesting that three board members be appointed, which is sufficient to conduct some of the initial activities, including adopting the bylaws. So we'll be requesting that you recommend the appointee to represent the red, as well as recommending two of the four independent directors. And also regarding the two non-voting advisory members from the red itself, you can recommend those today, or that one can also be pushed to the next meeting in late August. It's up to you. And then when we come back at the next meeting in late August, early September, we'll ask you to recommend the remaining two independent directors. And ideally at that time or just after that time, the city and county will also have their recommended appointees, and we will appoint them to the board upon execution of their financing agreements. You can go to the next slide, please. And so I just want to discuss a little bit the process for seeking these independent board members. So, you know, we're really seeking to create a board that represents a variety of viewpoints, skill sets, and expertise. And so an application was provided for interested applicants. And really the goal here is to evaluate applicants based on their understanding of the role, their ability to represent the community, as well as the fund's goals, their relevant professional experience, and as well as their ability to inform and advise on credit decisions, as well as to provide strategic and organizational guidance to the fund. So next slide. So the solicitation for board members was distributed through a variety of channels. It's listed here on the slide. And you know, this is really via the Red, as well as various county and public agency websites, as well as staff and other members in the community. So you can go to the next slide, please. And so we received six applications. And first, I really want to thank everyone who applied. We're really excited about your interest in the fund. And secondly, all applicants bring relevant skill sets and expertise that would be beneficial to the board. So those six applicants are, the first is Allison Dykstra, and I just want to apologize. Her first name is actually misspelled. It should be an I instead of a Y. Allison is a former architect as well as an author of construction industry textbooks. Next, we have Veronica Ferguson, former Sonoma County Administrator. She has experience as an executive coach and facilitator, as well as she is admitted to practice law in California. Next, we have Tom Lynch, who is a general contractor, as well as a former Sonoma County Planning Commissioner. Then we have Jake McKenzie, who is a former Roanoke Park Council member. He has held various county and regional government appointments and formerly worked at the EPA. We have Todd Sheffield, who was recently retired as CEO of Community First Credit Union. He has experience in credit analysis and multifamily investing. And then we have Karen Weeks, who is currently on the City of Santa Rosa Planning Commission, as well as she formerly worked at the City of Santa Rosa Department of Housing and Redevelopment. And so, of course, this is just a quick summary. My short descriptions do not do justice to everyone's expertise, but you all have received copies of the applications with full details of each applicant for your review and application and your review and evaluation. So we look forward to your thoughts when we conclude our presentation. And I'll just pass it off to the next slide for you, Lisa, to discuss the requested actions.
Great, thank you. So we have a couple of categories of requested actions. So to sum up, on the one hand, with respect to entity formation, we're requesting approval of the draft articles of incorporation and the bylaws and authorizing council to form the Red Housing Fund. And then in the second category, with respect to the composition of the fund's board, we're asking for the Red Board to appoint one individual as your representative to the Red Housing Fund's board. We're also asking that the Red Board recommend to council two independent directors for appointment to the board. We're also recommending either now or at a later date that the Red Board consider appointing up to two non-voting advisory members from among the board itself. And we're also asking, this is one of the sub-bullets here under Red Board composition, that we reopen the application window for 30 days to receive additional applications if there are any others out there that would like to apply. And that's just to cast wider net so that for the last two independent directors, we potentially could receive, you know, yet additional applications to consider for the board to sift through for the last two appointments. And if necessary, if the board wishes to have an additional interim board meeting, that would be another action that we'd request at this time. And then in summary, assuming we can move forward with these actions, then we would be able to file the articles of incorporation, create the corporation, and have the funds board ready to go to later adopt the bylaws, form the Form 1023, and take additional actions towards the formation of the fund later this year. Thank you.
Any questions from the board? Chris?
Thanks. I think this one is for Olivia or whoever wants to answer it, but could you just remind us, for instance, for the county appointee, which we're not doing today, but does the county board of supervisors make that appointment? Are we looking for individual with the same qualifications that we're looking for here? Is it again not an elected person that we're looking for? Help me out, just remind me what that all is.
It's the county and city's decision as to how they want to recommend and appoint them. They can go through a public process, it's really their decision. And we're recommending that they choose someone who has, you know, relevant experience. So for example, you know, someone who works in the economic development department or the housing authority or any you know, it could be any sort of public representative or even someone from the private sector if they want that person to represent the city or the county.
Okay, sounds fairly wide open. Decision is up to the body.
Yep.
Okay. And through the chair, I can add that my understanding from county council is that they believe they have the authority to have staff make that appointment. And you can certainly circle back with county council on that. One possible pool of applicants that Daniela didn't mention is that I've heard somebody from the auditor controller's office is a good potential candidate. So yes, non-elected county staff with the skill set and expertise that would be complementary to the board.
There is a prohibition against elected people to be appointed to this.
Now that's a question for either Forsyth or council. There is, and we talked about this quite a bit in the last board meeting about not being an, I believe the legal term is instrumentality of government. And I'll see if Forsyth wants to add to that on what the rationale is.
Yeah, we recommend that it not be. And you know, one of the main goals here is to really have a board that's independent is one thing. And also just, you know, I think to avoid certain conflicts of interest, it may also be better to select someone who is more of an employee than a public representative, a publicly appointed official.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm understanding here, and I hear the recommendation loud and clear, but I don't hear a prohibition.
That's right. We don't have a prohibition on that, but there are consequences to having an elected official appointed that we are making everybody aware of, including the Red Board, including the city, including the county. You know, we've put forth the list of the types of qualifications we think would be preferred for the Red Board, but there is no requirement per se that it can't be an elected official. That decision just would have certain consequences in terms of how the fund would operate.
Okay, thanks. I just want to be able to answer questions here, so educating myself.
Any other questions from the board? Okay, seeing none, why don't we go to public comment on this item and see if there's any commenters from the public wishing to speak on the nominations and appointees process. Do we have any pre-recorded messages, Michelle?
There were no pre-recorded messages that arrived in advance of the meeting.
Okay, is any member of the public wishing to speak? You'll have 3 minutes. You may do so by clicking the raise hand feature on Zoom or by pressing *9 on your telephone if you're listening in. Janet, are there any hands up?
No hands raised from our current attendees.
Okay, let's give it just a couple more seconds in case people are figuring it out.
And we have a hand raised. Michelle, can you put up the timer aside, please?
Sure. Give me just a moment.
Can you hear me?
Just a moment, Jake. I'm getting my timer slide up. Not that you would ever need a timer slide.
Others would disagree.
Go ahead.
Am I good to go?
You are. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, board. I'm not a shy or a retiring type, as I believe all of you well know. I've been listening with interest to the presentation, and I just wanted to say in terms of activities that in which I've been involved over the last 20 plus years, I have been on the board of the Local Government Commission out of Sacramento, a nonprofit 501c3 organization where I've been involved in budgetary discussions over those two decades. 12 years on a similar board, Greenbelt Alliance, here in the 9-county Bay Area. And as chair of MTC, I was, as board member Rabbit well knows, I was intimately involved with the construction of the Bay Area Housing Finance Authority, which came out of our CASA Compact activities. And so I just wanted to let you know that my application was submitted with a great deal of interest in my part and a willingness to devote the time necessary. So there you are, under 3 minutes, much to your surprise. Bye.
Thank you, Mr. McKenzie. Any other commenters at this time?
I see no more hands raised.
Okay, let's bring it back to the board for discussion. And Michelle, unless you would like it done differently, I'm gonna recommend that we start with the red board appointee, and I'll look to my fellow board members to see if there are any nominations that anyone would like to make at this time.
I'll nominate Michelle Whitman.
I'll second that.
Okay, so we have a motion to nominate Michelle Whitman to the Red Funds board. And do we have any other nominations that we'd like to make at this point? Okay, seeing none, why don't we do a roll call vote, Michelle?
All right. Supervisor Rabbit?
Aye.
Supervisor Corsi?
Yes.
Council Member Fleming?
Yes.
Chair Tibbetts?
Aye. Okay, cool. Motion carries. Congrats, Michelle. You have more work. Okay, and we're going to move on to, we're going to do it in two more steps. Next, we will make the appointees from the public. And I just wanted to give a quick shout out to you, Director Corsi. Thank you for putting that email out there to help cast the net a little bit broader. And then after that, we'll have a discussion about the two non-voting advisory board members. And we'll make a determination whether we want to do that or not. And if we do, who we'd like to appoint. Would any member of the board like to make nominations from the application pool at this time?
Through the chair, can I ask Council Sue Block how this should work? Because these need to be recommendations. And then Council makes the appointments. Do you want to call them nominations, Sue, or do you have some direction for the chair on that?
Well, I actually also wanted to ask a question of clarification, because my understanding was that what the board was going to do today was to recommend two persons who would be appointed to the board as voting members.
That's correct.
Okay, so I just wanted to clarify, because we had also talked about non-voting advisory members. So in order to address the issues that the Forsyth folks have mentioned before about creating a separation between governmental agencies and the independent Red Board, our suggestion is that this board make recommendations regarding the appointment of the independent voting members, but that the formal appointment would be done by me when I, as the quote, incorporator of the fund. So this board would have a discussion about who those independent directors would be, and you would make a recommendation, but you wouldn't formally appoint those persons. In contrast, you could formally appoint non-voting advisory board members. And I'm not sure if that action is on the agenda for today as well.
I do want to present the question to the board, Sue, because I do think that I have some thoughts about the advisory board members, but you're correct. We're taking the recommendations now for the independent members currently. That's what I'm seeking to do. But your preference is that the language that we use is recommend as opposed to appoint.
Correct.
Or nominate.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for that clarification. If there's nothing further from staff at this point, I would like to bring it back to the board for a discussion about recommending two independent board members to the Reds Fund. Is there any, who would like to kick off the conversation?
So how do you want to do this, Jack? Do you want to get two names on the table and take a vote? Do you want to get one name on the table and take a vote? What's your pleasure?
Great question. I think for the sake of simplicity, let's put, if it's all right, a series of names out onto the table. If, for example, Director Corsi, if you have two people you believe should be recommended, that you would put their names forward. Similarly, if Director Rabbit had a name that might be different, he could put his forward, and we'll vote on the motions successively, if that makes sense. And if that gets too jumbled up, maybe we'll do what we used to do on the city council and try to do a hierarchical order of votes, if you recall that process from the Housing Authority. But I'm hoping that, that maybe we can find some agreement on some of these people currently. And the one thing I do want to point out too, before we start the voting, to any members of the audience or who may watch this later, is that there will be a time in the future when it'll be likely that we expand the size of the Red Board. So if a selection is not made today, I know that I'll be asking Michelle, if she's not already planning on it, to hold those applications over for a few months from now so that those individuals will be eligible for appointment at that time.
Okay. If there's no other questions about the process, I'll go ahead and get this started.
Great.
First of all, I just want to thank everybody who's applied. It's great to see enthusiasm and quality applicants. It's good to have a quality pool to choose from. As we make these first appointments, to me, the kind of the technical qualifications are what I'm looking for. You know, I think we need a wide range of qualifications on this board, you know, including people who are well connected to the community. But right now, I think that the technical qualifications are what stood out for me on a couple of the applications that we received. And because of that, I'm going to suggest that we make a recommendation of Todd Sheffield and Veronica Ferguson.
I would like to support that recommendation.
Are you seconding it, Victoria?
Yeah, I just got a little confused because of the nomination versus recommendation, but I suppose it is a formal recommendation, so I will second that. And again, with a thank you to everybody who applied, and if you don't get chosen this round, please do reapply, or I don't know if we'll hold on to those applications for the next round.
We will absolutely keep them in the pool.
Okay. Okay, so Director Corsi moved to recommend Todd Sheffield and Veronica Ferguson for appointment to the Red Board. Director Fleming seconded it. Would any other members of the Red Board like to put an alternate motion on the table? Go ahead, Director Rabbit.
Yeah, not an alternate motion. I looked at the names, and I know most of those people, and I know of many of them, and their reputation and their CV, resumes, and everything else are stellar. I think, like my colleague, Supervisor Corsi, when I go to make appointments, especially when you're making broader appointments on a full body, it's important to kind of pick the flavor of the body as a whole. And I think for this round, those two are obviously both very deserving. Not to say that there aren't others within there, including my good friend, Jake McKenzie, who I think has a lot to offer. And I think that as we come back and build upon this, it's great to have a bench that we can draw upon and go forward. So I think those are great selections going forward. And I think that, you know, we're fortunate to have the opportunity to have even as good selections going in the next round as well. So that's all. I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Thanks, Director Rabbit. And I agree with everything that you said. Just as a point of order, Sue, do we need to take public comment on this particular recommendation? I know that we did on Michelle's and the item generally, but what's your recommendation?
I don't think you're required to, but you certainly could if you would like to.
Okay, well, if we're not required to, I'm gonna press on. Michelle, if you don't mind doing a roll call vote to recommend Todd Sheffield and Veronica Ferguson to the Red Housing Fund Board of Directors.
Sure, happy to. Supervisor Rebbit?
Aye.
Supervisor Corsi?
Yes.
Councilmember Fleming?
Yes.
Chair Tibbetts?
Yes. Okay, great. Motion carries, and thank you to all the applicants who put in for this position. Okay, now moving on to the next one, I just wanted to offer an opportunity for a brief discussion on the addition of non-voting members. I asked Michelle to include this on our agenda because I know that a conversation I had with her about expertise being on the board, particularly at the early stages, and the role that that would play. But also one of my concerns at the time was not having an elected official on the board who kind of is representing the public, to me was a little bit concerning at the time. Frankly, I'm good to go either way, but I wanted to present the question to the board because we do have, it looks like it's going to be a pretty staff heavy independent board. Also, we'll have great folks from the community also representing the public interest, but I wanted to present the question to this group is, should there be any sort of elected oversight serving on this board? Now I say that recognizing that we can't tilt the scales in the direction of government. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Forsyth Street, if we have more people from government on the independent board, it ceases to be an independent nonprofit. It becomes a government agency, so to speak. So we have to be careful. But I did, again, just want to bring this question to the group for discussion. And if there is no discussion, that's fine.
Jump in. Yeah, no, I think the non-voting advisory members do not affect that analysis. And so that's why the opportunity is here to make those appointments.
Yeah, now correct me if I'm wrong, Elise, this independent board, this nonprofit that we're creating, these will not be public meetings, correct?
They are not required to be, although they can make that decision as, with respect to how it wants to hold its meetings.
So I think we had some concern. I'm just going to air this out very transparently. I think we had some concern about the nonprofit board being public because there's going to be a lot of discussion about personal, financial, and proprietary information relating to housing projects. I think that was a concern that was voiced to me, and it's one that I would share, honestly. But again, the reason why I thought it might be a good idea to have a non-voting advisory board member that is an elected official participating would, I think, effectively solve two problems. One, the conflict of interest problem, which I know there was concern about developers being heavy contributors to certain elected officials who would then vote on projects that would be to their financial benefit. We've kind of addressed that by taking away the power of voting. But one of my fears is that we're also taking away some level of public insight into the process by not having an elected. And I thought that the non-advisory voting member would solve that problem to some extent. So again, I'm actually good to go either way. I think this group has done a really good job at being involving the public and being transparent. But again, I just wanted our board to be aware of where this is going.
Jack, I share some of your concerns here. I don't think it's necessary for us to make these non-voting appointments today. At least that's my understanding, that it's not necessary for us to do it today. And I think that, you know, I've got mixed feelings about whether it's a sitting elected or we find some other way to just kind of have a, for lack of a better term and to be transparent as you are being, to have, you know, some political awareness on this board. This is, you know, a private board that's going to be dealing with public funds, and you know, I think it's important to just have that sensibility in the group. Whether it's a, you know, it doesn't need to be a voting member, but but to be a reminder. But I'm comfortable with not doing that today and looking at it down the road.
Okay, that would be fine with me too. Director Fleming.
Yeah, thank you. I'm wondering too, if we could, you know, I get that this is a really tight balance between the protecting the privacy of investors and protecting the interests of the public. And I do think that at some point it may become necessary to have somebody who has that political acumen. And I think that to that end, it may be an opportunity for us when we adopt the next round, because in this round, we have two people with significant technical expertise, and then we have our own director or our own executive director, Whitman, who I trust has that political sensibility given her experience. So that it may not be necessary just yet, but that one of the opportunities that we could have down the road is when we do put on the additional members is to look in that group, and perhaps a couple of people will bubble up as people who have that skill set, as I have a strong suspicion that if we get some of the recurring applicants, that may be an opportunity to appoint those individuals who may have that political technical acumen at that point in time. So I tend to agree with Supervisor Corsi that it's not urgent at this moment, and that if we give ourselves a little time, we might be able to come up with a more well-rounded perspective in the future.
Okay, great. Director Rabbit, any thoughts?
Well, I was just going to add, I think you can have political acumen and not be a directly elected. I think Veronica Ferguson, quite frankly, is probably pretty politically acute. I know that she is from my experience with her, but I totally get what you're saying. And I think at some point in the future, I appreciated the fact that a non-voting member, just to have that kind of overlay, because again, it goes back to what I said earlier about the fullness of the entire board. It's not a bad idea to have someone there that could say, hey, wait, have we thought about this? It may not be a technical piece, but it may be an important community-based piece. And that's where the directly elected, but also then having people who are politically attuned or sensitive is important as well. So it's kind of my way of saying, I agree with all of you. I think that, you know, going forward, it would be good to have that kind of sensibility.
Okay, thanks for the input, you guys. I'm going to suggest, as Director Corsi recommended, that we table that until the next that discussion, until the next round of appointments. I think it was a 30 days from now, or some point in the near future. Now, Michelle, point of order. So we went right into the recommendation phase of these action items. Should we go back to item A, approve the articles of incorporation and authorize staff and council to form the Red Housing Fund, and take it A through F at this point?
Yes, but before we do that, I want to, if it's okay with you, Chair Tibbetts, turn back to Ulysse, Daniela, and Olivia. And do you feel like we have pretty clear direction on this last point and the non-voting members appointed from the composition of this red board? We were, our understanding was that those non-voting members would come off of this red board, and we're happy to bring them back later, bring the issue back later. I just want to make sure that that's still what this board is thinking as we, you know, looking forward to how we'll prepare the next staff report. Because I may have misinterpreted, but it sounded like maybe you were going to consider that these non-voting members could be from outside of this board. So it would be helpful to me, I think, unless Forsyth doesn't think it's critical to know the answer to this, whether we are still looking at those non-voting members coming from your red board.
We were assuming that the red board may want those non-voting advisory members to be two of the four people here to have oversight. But, and Sue can step in here, I don't think it matters if for some reason you wanted to have someone else be in a non-voting advisory position. And secondly, yes, we were also saying it's fine to wait until the next meeting to recommend and appoint who those may be if you desire to have them.
Yeah, I would agree with everything you just said, Daniela.
Thanks, and I misunderstood what we were looking for there. So I'd still suggest we wait till the next meeting, but now that I have a better understanding of what we are looking for, I'll be thinking about that between now and then.
Thank you for the time to clarify that.
Okay, great. So now let's go back to item A and B. I'm going to recommend that we take these together as the Articles of Incorporation and the bylaws. Do any members of the board have any questions on item A or B?
I'll go ahead and move approval if it's okay with you.
Terrific.
Second.
Okay, Michelle, can you do a roll call vote?
Sure. Supervisor Rabbit?
Aye.
Supervisor Corsi?
Yes.
Council Member Fleming?
Yep.
Chair Tibbetts?
Aye. All right, great. Thanks, guys. Motion carries. And then we'll add on item E, any discussion about reopening the board application window for 30 days for two additional independent directors? Any discussion or questions from the board? Okay, seeing none, would anybody be willing to fashion a motion?
I'll go ahead and fashion that motion.
And I'll second that fashion.
Thank you.
Fashionable motion.
Very fashionable. All right, Michelle, will you take roll call on item E?
Supervisor Rabbit?
Aye.
Supervisor Corsi?
Yes.
Council Member Fleming?
Yep.
Chair Tibbetts?
Aye. All right, terrific. Motion carries. And we'll move on to item five or number five, the Executive Director's Report. Michelle, I believe this is yours.
Do we need to vote on 4F, the authorizing the interim board meeting if needed?
Oh, sure. I apologize. I just assumed that we weren't going to need one, but I'm happy to bring that up for discussion. Let me ask it a different way, Michelle. Is there a need for an interim meeting at this point?
I don't believe so, but we wanted to include this just in case something comes up that's time sensitive, because our next meeting isn't until August. So that was the purpose in bringing it. If I had to wager a bet, I would say we probably won't need it.
Okay, any questions or comments from the board? Okay, seeing none, I'm happy to take any motions if anyone would like to propose a date for an interim red board meeting. At this point, I'm with Michelle. I don't see a need. And I'm sure that, Michelle, you can let us know if that changes.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. All right, let's move on now to Executive Director's Report number five.
All right. And Sue, Ulysse, and Daniela, you're welcome to stay or go. Thank you. Let me just get my screen looking the way I want it to. And I'm, in the interest of time today, I'm not going to go through the whole report. I'll just highlight a few notable developments that were included. So since my last report, a significant portion of my time has been spent, of course, on one by one, taking those successive steps to get the Red Housing Fund up and running. Forsyth just did a great job of summarizing the most recent work, crunching the numbers for financial planning and budgeting for next year, working on keeping momentum up on public will building to foster a strong housing ethic in our community. Definitely quarterbacking on collaborative grant seeking, including working with developers on an infill infrastructure grant application that is due July 12th, and just got some good news from the grant consultant this morning that I think we can achieve a perfect score. And considering there's a smaller pool of money available than we expected, that's really important. I'm engaging all sectors, public, private, and philanthropic, and collaboratively seeking added resources to address our need for more affordable housing. There was a particularly good outcome last week at the California Tax Credit Allocation Committee, where Sonoma County was formally allocated a new round of federal disaster tax credits due to our 2019 and 2020 fires. Sonoma County received an allocation of over $8 million in federal tax credits. And because these credits have a 10-year lifespan, that translates into over $80 million in new investment to build affordable housing here. Maintenance of effort continues on work, including working with city and county staff on the feasibility and value that could be provided by an enhanced infrastructure financing district, participating in California Coalition for Rural Housing's Disaster Recovery and Prevention Committee, contributing to Nonprofit Housing's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Working Group, informing the statewide housing plan update, participating in our countywide housing leads work group, collaborating with Generation Housing and Sustainable Sonoma in pursuit of our shared project to include more diverse voices and faces in housing matters, working with stakeholders as well as city and county staff to monitor legislation aligned with the REDS legislative principles, and when appropriate, submit spoken and written comments on public policy. I continue to facilitate biweekly Tierra de Rosas team meetings so that we can get to groundbreaking sooner rather than later. And I'm always fostering a pipeline of infrastructure and new housing projects and coordinating partners with shared goals. Finally, on fundraising, it's a bit of a roller coaster, and my husband can tell you that my cocktail hour order is a reflection on whether it's been a good day or a challenging day. We've officially been awarded the $150,000 MTC grant. Thank you, MTC Commissioners Fleming and Rabbit. Although the money's not yet in our hands, it has officially been approved. I submitted an application for a $100,000 grant to the Housing Lab, which we were not awarded. Staff at the Housing Lab is, however, really interested in what we're doing and actively helping with connections to other funders in their network. So that's going well. The San Francisco Foundation is also assisting with connections to their network of funders. We have proposals out to foundations, banks, corporations, and public funders. And finally, we're working with large healthcare providers who share our mission to produce healthy housing. So I'm going to end there, but anybody interested can certainly access the complete executive director's report in the meeting packet. Thank you, and Jack, you're muted.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
I was just gonna say a sincere thank you to Michelle for all of your work.
It's a labor of love, honestly.
Yep, thanks, Michelle. Okay, let's go to public comment for item 5. Do we have any pre-recorded messages, Michelle?
No, we don't.
Any members of the public wishing to speak on this item can do so by clicking the raise hand feature on Zoom or pressing *9 if dialing in by telephone. Janet, do we have any members of the public wishing to speak?
See no hands raised.
Okay, great. So I'll bring it back to the board. There's no actions needed on item 5. So let's move on to item 6, adjournment. But before we adjourn, really quickly, we should set a date. Right now, the recommended time is August 16th at 12 o'clock. Director Rabbit, it sounds like you might have a bit of a conflict. We can press on without you, or happy to find a date that works for you.
I am trying to find my calendar. Panicking, of course.
No problem, take your time. I think it would be good to have you, since these meetings are, I think, pretty critical to the formation of the fund and selection of members. So I'd like to find a date for you.
Yeah, I could. And the, I'm sorry, Jack, you said the, it was the 16th?
Correct, at noon.
If we push it to the next week, I'm good. That week and the week prior are blocked out for a camping trip.
Okay, so we'd be looking at, it looks like August 23rd. Would that be the date at noon?
Or if it...
Chris, Victoria, would that time work for you both? Okay, I think we're on for August 23rd at 12 o'clock.
All right, sounds good.
Michelle looked quizzical, but thank you so much for accommodating me on that one. I appreciate it. Summer vacations are hard to coordinate no matter what.
And through the chair, my quizzical look was thinking is SCTA on that day, but I imagine it would be on your calendar if it was.
Yeah, and it's not, so, but it doesn't mean it's not.
Let me do just a quick look on their website. Thank you for bearing with me.
And while you do that, Supervisor Rabbit, do you know if MTC's Friday meetings are always the fourth Friday, second and fourth Friday, or if they're the second and fourth Fridays after the first? And or we're looking at the, wait, August 23rd, you said? Oh, it's a Monday, I'm sorry, not a Friday.
SCTA is not a conflict, Chair Tibbetts.
So I agree. Like they don't meet in August, so. Okay. And Victoria, you know, I'm not sure.
It should be fine.
I just go to where they tell me when they put it on my calendar.
Right.
All right. Sounds good, everybody. It's 12:59. We're adjourned, and I'll see y'all on August 23rd at noon.
Thank you, everyone.
Take care.